Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Can't disagree here more. From the 913, that mom should just get a variety pack.
Yeah, I'm going to say I don't think the variety pack goes with different sizes, though. What's the point of that? You know, you're not buying for the group usually. Hey, I'm going to the CVS to get some condoms. Anybody need any? You know what? I'll get the variety pack. We can split. No, nobody does that.
What is it from the 40-year-old version? Do you guys have any Magnum condoms? Yeah. Shut up, Seth. You got a tiny penis. Is it true if you don't use it, you lose it?
That's right.
Is that a serious question? No. Yeah, so there you go. You get the Mizzou moms just out there, you know, looking out for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do you talk to your...
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't know, man, but my parents definitely did, because that was the rule. I couldn't watch American Pie until I had the talk, because I wouldn't have gotten anything in that movie. Like, I don't know what any of that stuff was at, you know, 12 or 11 years old, whatever it was. And yes, I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there listening to you guys with my 11-year-old son, me. Sometimes those guys are a little crazy, huh, son? Yeah, they're a lot like the Three Stooges.
Oh, the Three Stooges. My God, your son knows about the Three Stooges. Good for him.
Probably saw the Jim Carrey version. So, yeah, I don't know. I think we never talked about it. We just said wear protection if you ever have the situation come up. And I remember back in the day, nowadays kids are blessed. You just go to Target self-checkout and you're gone.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Yeah,
you don't have to worry
it's
about it anymore.
Yeah.
Back in then, I had to go to Quick Trip and, like, you know, Gatorade, roller, Trojans. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, I'm going to use the rollers to see. And they're like, please leave. And it's like, all right. Some breaking news out of Jets camp. Breece Hall left practice day with trainers after suffering an apparent injury to his midsection.
Midsection?
Maybe his mom. I'm just kidding. I would assume abdomen area.
Yeah,
for that.
Like that's an odd term to use. Like he left with a knee injury. Usually that's always the midsection. So I will say this. Just because I'm a doctor, right? Midsection doesn't, thank God it's not a knee injury or an Achilles or something like that.
Yeah,
but the midsection, maybe it's a hip injury. Is it a stomach ailment? Like,
you also hope it's not like a collapsed lung.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what's your midsection considered? Is that like from your waist up, like from your rib cage to your, you know, your knees or something? Like, I don't know. That's an interesting terminology to use. What?
I just need him to be good.
Oh, I thought
he's on my dynasty team. I just need him to be good. Yeah.
I thought you saw something and you're like, oh, boy.
No, okay. He went down going untouched after catching a pass. Untouched.
So then that midsection.
Oh, then that's an oblique.
Yep.
Yeah, but an oblique in football, they're back. It's not like baseball where you don't see those people years.
Big note, non-contact, scary. Midsection.
I got to see the video, too. I would love to see the video of this thing.
I doubt we'll get it. Most camps aren't like ours.
Sam Block just tweets, Breece Hall is one of the most underrated running backs in the entire NFL. The Jets can't afford to have him out with an injury of any kind. Prayers to Breece, praying for the best. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
So he went down untouched, and they're saying it's an injury to his midsection?
Yeah.
Yep. After catching
a pass. I'm doing the say it out loud test.
That's right.
Because it doesn't sound right.
So after catching a pass, maybe he stretched out to catch a pass and overstretched something like that oblique, maybe. Who
knows? Maybe something internally happened. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and try to figure it out because we don't, you know, we don't play doctor on the radio. Dr. Chow will do that later on, I'm sure, and tell everybody what's wrong after he hasn't examined this guy. But now I'm nervous for Breece Hall, man, because the other day I said I think the Jets can be pretty good, and Max said, sell me on the Jets. I go, I really like their offense. Well, if you don't have Breece Hall.
Yeah.
See, this is why we can't make our predictions till after the preseason.
I will say Garrett Wilson looked good in their game. I did watch a little bit of that Jets game
because they both looked.
I wanted to see Kenyon Sadiq and all that sort of stuff. And Garrett Wilson looked like he's got like a different step maybe so far this year. Again, we always talk about the insiders. Just all you have to do is hit the little, you know, retweet button. Mm-hmm. Rich, I don't know how to say his last name. Did you say it already, Mac? Rich Simini. C-I-M-I-N-I.
Rich Samini.
Samini. Breece Hall goes down untouched while running after a catch. Hashtag Jets. Ian Rapoport, quote tweet, one to watch.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah. Here, the report on Pro Football Talk is, just Rich Samini. He left practice on Monday morning after going down untouched after catching a pass.
Yep. That's all we got right now.
So that must have been like a, you know, it's tough.
In Chiefs news, Mansoor Delane. No yellow jersey in pads.
All right, there you go.
A lot of people are saying it's a sports hernia or appendicitis.
How do we know?
They're just guessing like we are.
Yeah.
I've had appendicitis. That he wouldn't be at practice today.
That's fair.
His stomach would have already started hurting.
I will say this. Football players are a different breed than the three of us. You don't think so?
No. It's the worst pain you will have.
Okay.
It's done.
Is it worse than kidney stones?
I haven't had those, but it's the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Okay.
Luckily, mine did not rupture like my brother's, but yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Ash was in the hospital for like a week.
Oh.
Ugh. Lost a lot of weight, yeah. Bad news.
So, good news from preseason. What did you think that was good news out of this, Mr. Fesco?
I thought there was a lot of good news to take away from this preseason game, and obviously you have to take it with a grain of salt because it is the preseason, but I think the stuff we wanted to see, guys, for the most part, we saw in this game, right? We wanted to see a good running game. We saw a good running game. We want to see the line do good. Saw the line do good. Saw the rookies do good. Saw the defense make some plays. So I think there was a lot to take away from a good preseason performance. I thought Josh Simmons did kind of what we needed him to do. R. Mason Thomas, he may go down as the next legacy Chief with the way that he explodes off that line of scrimmage and gets to the quarterback. We haven't had a screecher on the outside since Frank Clark. Before him, it was obviously Holly and Justin Houston, and before him, Derek Thomas. But I mean, like, this is a guy now that is in rare air when it comes to potentially being a stud defensive lineman. Cyrus Allen, I thought, was legit. We got some good plays out of Emmett Johnson. He broke 10 tackles in that game. Isaiah Pacheco didn't break 10 tackles all of last year, let alone in one game. And so I think there was some really good stuff. The stuff we wanted to see look good, I thought really looked good on Saturday. And again, it's against your twos, your threes, and stuff of that nature. But they still went out there and did stuff where you go, okay, they're moving in the right direction. I like what I'm seeing here with this team.
Yeah, I think what Max said earlier with Bosa, that he looked good, getting his playing time. Alex Gold let us know Drew Tranquil still not practicing today at St. Joe as well. But again, I Emmett Johnson, man, stole the show. And I thought that was
hell
great
yeah.
Because I know that preseason you're not really putting anything to stone. But like that's something that when you see him play and get those opportunities, like it's going to be his life on the line. I thought that's how he ran the ball. And to see that promise, to see under center plays, to see Harrison Butker look just fine, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, you know what? Honestly, might have been a question mark going into this season as he gets older. Does the leg still have the juice? We know kickers can kick till they're in their 40s at least. And to see him pipe that one from 59 was fine, which wouldn't have had to. But that, again, goes back to the penalties that a lot of people are referencing because there was a 4th-and-1 play, false start. Move back 5 yards. Okay, well, if that does happen, I know penalties aren't great, but to have the other side of the conversation, you know that you got somebody back there's a security blanket that can pipe one through from 59 at least to this
day. Right, exactly. And I think that's important to get him back, obviously, because the last couple of years just haven't been great. You know, for him, you know, whether it's been injury or whatever it's been with him, it just hasn't been good over the last couple of years. So to see him produce is really good. I want to hear from people today up at training camp, though, was Eric Bieniemy in everybody's kitchen, because the penalties, as we've talked about, a lot of the backups were converting or committing those penalties. but you still have to hold those guys accountable and send a message to the entire team that penalties are not going to be tolerated, because that way too many penalties ate by that backup offense. So that's a one apiece plus.
I know it doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs, but it does have something to do with how we started this segment, which is Breece Hall. Polymarket Football says Breece Hall left practice today with trainers Monday due to a groin injury.
Groin injury now.
So is that's midsection?
Yeah.
Yes, that's midsection.
So there you go. That's not fun.
No, that'll linger.
As I say, that's an aggravated.
That's one all year, man.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thank God we didn't sign him in the offseason. Am I right?
Yeah.
Damn, Breece Hall, man. Set up for a big year, too. But yeah, I thought that the first, you'll be all right, Mac. I promise you'll be okay. go get Emmett Johnson.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Have to do something, man.
You got 2 years for sure with Ken Walker.
Yep.
Third is an option. If Emmett Johnson gives you the belief,
that's good. That's
see,
good
this for is this is exactly what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You were talking about fantasy football in the break, and Dusty says to me, "God, I don't want to have to draft like Ladd McConkey and root for that guy." I go, exactly. I'm not interested in something like that. But this is where, like, for fantasy football, for me as a Chiefs fan who doesn't do fantasy, I'm like, it doesn't really affect me at all. But you guys are like, oh my God, the fantasy stuff, and I'm like, thank God it didn't impact the Chiefs.
Yeah. So far, stay healthy, stay clean, get back to practice today. As again, Nick Bolton will join Cody and Gold live in St. Joe after practice today. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back into what was the preseason game notes. Plus, Chris Jones in that situation was absolutely hilarious here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Show ends every day. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Khalil Shakir, slot receiver for the Buffalo Bills. 19 dogs were scheduled to be euthanized. Then the Buffalo Bills wide receivers showed up and opened the van door. Saved all these dogs, got them homes. Showed up with no cameras, no PR, nothing. Just his mom and his two best friends. And got 19 dogs that were going to be put down to 19 different homes. That is life, my friends. I don't care what kind of dog you have. I will fall in love with it the minute that I see it. You can ask Mac. First time I ever went to Mac's house, I'm like, these are the dogs? Like, yep, these are them. One shy at first, took 5 minutes, and then boom. We were best friends.
Yeah. Yep. Then just start jumping on you. Yep.
It's fine. Do whatever you want. Mansoor Delane, no pads, as Mac had mentioned earlier. Full pads, yep. No yellow non-contact jersey. And Ladarius Sneed, the complete opposite. No helmet, no pads, no nothing, as he is walking down the hill at St. Joe in a practice that I assume will be quite the, quite the intense one.
Also, Trey Smith still not practicing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Can we start talking about that real quick? Like, yes. Can we talk about level of concern?
Yeah, it's getting up there. Yeah, the longer he's out, you know.
Because at first I don't think you were super concerned.
No.
But then it was like the hip, and we got Klingler on the show talking about it, and he's like, man, I don't know. Like, that kind of throws a little bit of a red flag. I don't like this. We talk about Breece Hall having the groin injury that can linger. This seems like one of those things that could possibly linger throughout the season.
Yeah, it's just like something you don't want to deal with at this point in time. Like, you pick up those injuries in training camp or spring training, and you're still talking about them at the end of the year, right? That kind of feels like this with Trey Smith.
I know that as of right now, going off of, a few practices up in St. Joe and a preseason game, that Khalil Benson might be okay to fill in that role. And then Jalen Moore obviously is going to be your right tackle. But I think we can all agree, like, the obvious in the room is like, well, you want Trey Smith out there.
Yeah. It was a week ago when I was told it would be 7 to 10 days until he would be back. So we're still in that window, right? A hip flexor type thing is kind of what they're talking about. Maybe, I don't know, whatever the hip injury is called. But when it originally happened, I was told 7 to 10 days is probably where he would be. I think today marks like day 7 of that. Mm. So the early part of that 7 to 10 days. And so we do have to keep that in perspective. Like, we think he's been out for a while, but I mean, when you really look at it, it's only been a week, if that. And they did say 7 to 10 days is what I was told. So we're still in that window right now. And I guess if we're lingering in the next week, maybe then it becomes a bigger issue, or maybe even later in this week. Like, I wouldn't expect Trey Smith to play on Saturday, maybe, when they play the next preseason game.
I'd assume not.
And really, I mean, there's no reason to. You haven't been practicing for the last 2 weeks. But if he's not back at practice this time next week, then it's worthy of having that conversation. But I'm going to still stick with that 7 to 10 days. As long as we're still in that window, I'm not going to freak out. But if we get outside that 10, 11, 12-day window, we're talking 2 weeks now, yeah, then that's something I think that we need to kind of, you know, have some conversations about and figure out, you know, where they're going to go with that spot along the offensive line, because we're now inside a month, guys, till the games start. And so that's still a good thing. It's still a long way to go. But you don't want to be dealing with injuries and nursing back from injuries. You want to be getting ready for the start of the season.
Yeah, to take off the Chiefs colored glasses, though, we talk about Breece Hall, groin injury lingering. This is a hip flexor for a guard. That's lingering. Even if it comes back and he's full strength, how long does that go till it's re-aggravated?
Yeah. I mean, this look, guys, we're talking about the life cycle of the NFL right now. The average lifespan of a player in this league is 3.5 years. Anything you get outside of that, you're now playing with fire, so to speak, right? And these offensive linemen get banged up play after play after play. We've talked about it a lot. It is like a car crash every single play for these guys. There are no off plays where they're not involved in some sort of contact. It is a grueling job. And so when it's your guy, you feel like, man, I can't believe this guy's hurt. But then you look at Trey, he's been in the league how long now, right? 5-6 years that he's been around playing this game, maybe a little bit less, but he's already outside of that window of what the normal average lifespan is of an NFL player. And so, yeah, they've got to figure it out, and they've got to make sure that they have a backup ready to go with Trey Smith, because it could be a lingering injury all season long. So we'll just have to see where it is. But we're still in that 7 to 10 day window. And so once we get outside of that, then I'll be a little bit more panicked than I am at this point in time. But it's a good point by you. Yeah. Are we going to have this all year where it's going to be this lingering injury that never was able to get Trey Smith going where we wanted him to go?
Especially in a year where they're trying to revamp the offense
and run the ball. Yeah.
Yep. Or are we going to see a Wally Pipp situation with Khalil Benson?
Would love that.
Because what's Trey contract looking like right now?
You'd love Khalil Benson to beat out Trey Smith?
It's cheaper.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you got, I mean, the money's on the books now. I mean, we're not getting out of Trey Smith today and just getting rid of that money.
No,
yeah, he's got this year 24, next year 27, and then there's a potential out in 28.
Okay, so he's not going anywhere
this year, next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got $50 million to Trey Smith. I don't see that likely. From what I've seen from Khalil Benson at the guard position, I've not loved. Obviously, I'm not the offensive lineman guru, but I think he's more of a tackle. That's what it looks like when I watch Khalil
Benson.
He's
big.
Yeah, he's big, and I just don't know. Trey Smith can get out to that second level. He's so athletic. I mean, again, like you were saying, Dusty, for the run game that we're trying to have this year, it's. He's vital. Trey Smith is vital.
Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's why you let him just kind of hang for a little bit longer, too. I mean, again, we're still a month away,
totally.
Less than a month away. And let me ask you guys this, though. Like, Trey Smith is one of those guys who I look at like, do you really need to be up here doing this in St. Joe? No. You know, are you worried that he's not going to be ready for the season? No. You know, that kind of stuff. So he's one of those guys that I would look at and I would say, I'm confident if he just has to get ready to play, that he's going to be able to play for the season. Let's take it a little bit slower. He's a veteran guy too. And, you know, veteran guys get treated a lot different too than the young guys because they know what's going on.
Somebody says, once you hurt your hip flexor, it always hurts. Opening your hips is painful.
Yeah,
I'm sure. It's going to be a lot of work.
I mean, just think about when he's trying to pull and he's taking that first step and he's getting his leg out. I mean, that's right there. I mean, so you want to make sure that like his first instinct isn't, you know, it's like his first instinct is good.
But maybe something that wasn't a cause of concern this weekend was, well, the camp darling so far this year has been Cyrus Allen. I would think that he did everything he should have done.
Hello, America. Game,
you better believe it, Jerry. I said that he had to make one catch to kind of give the people that were outside of the camp darling circle, like, oh, let's just see what he does in a game first. Like, you really think this guy could pee for the number 2 wide receiver position? I'm going to double down and say he could be up there for the wide receiver 1
position. Absolutely, he can be.
And again, he makes that jumping catch. And Mac, you told me what this morning when he made that catch.
Yo, hang on real quick. An update from Aaron Glenn. He's addressing the Breece Hall thing right now. He's going to go in for imaging now on his strained groin. So it is officially a strained groin. He's going to get tests. And so we probably won't see Breece the rest of preseason.
Yep. As he shouldn't.
Right.
No.
No, we were talking about Cyrus Allen this morning, and I said, have you ever seen Xavier Worthy jump that high? Could Xavier Worthy make that catch? And your answer immediately was, no.
No, I don't know if he does. And I don't know if I've ever seen Xavier Worthy jump like that. No. Now, again, it was a great catch, and it was a little off target. But again, like, that's the thing about Cyrus Allen, is that you would think that if he runs that route, so there's a lot of things here we can dive down and sound like a nerd. One, to know exactly where to be and when to turn around. I believe, because I've seen him, Patrick Mahomes, that ball is going to be right in your face mask right when you turn around. You wouldn't need to jump.
Right.
But that also gives Mahomes that belief that if I don't, I know that this guy might be able to log that in. Not only that, but he was everywhere he needed to be. There weren't any drops.
Yep.
There was a lot of field vision, and maybe there's some credit to go to Chad O'Shea into that as well. Mm. But the fifth round pick that might be the diamond in the rough for the Kansas City Chiefs in their draft this year, and Cyrus Allen, he did exactly what we talked about when it came to Friday's show. Like, what do we want to see in preseason? And I said, well, in preseason game one, I was like, all it's going to take is Cyrus Allen to have that one catch. And I kid you not, I'm having dinner with my stepdad and my sister last night, and the first thing she says about Cyrus Allen, she goes, that catch was crazy. And I was like, there we go.
There it is. Yeah.
Casual fan.
Yeah.
Loves the Chiefs. Yep. Loves the Royals. Hometown, you know, fan, like everything. But it was that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. And I'm like, if she's saying that, there's other people that are like, yeah, you know, I listen to these shows, or, you know, my friend listens to this show. They're talking about this Cyrus Allen guy, and everyone's on the, you know, 96.5 The Fan, the morning show, saying, watch for number 13, watch for number 99. 13 did a great job of getting you to believe that maybe there's more than just what the words are out in St. Joe.
Well, he's been good since day one, and you want to see him in game action. And some of the stuff that he did in that game is stuff that you don't have to worry about. Is it going to translate whether or not they're playing number ones or number twos? Being able to leap like that, that's athleticism. Having the speed that he showed out there, I thought was really good as well. A couple of his plays, maybe one of his plays called back because of some holding penalties and some offensive, you know, cluster that was going on out there for a little bit, but it doesn't take away from the athleticism that we've seen out of Cyrus Allen. And it's really fun to watch him, because you heard the whisper start almost immediately about him, and you kind of, all right, let's see what this kid is all about. And then he has his first game, his first preseason game, and he lives up to all of it, right? He lived up to every expectation I think that people had for him out there, and hopefully he can become a guy that Patrick Mahomes immediately does have that rapport with, where he's ready to go to him and trusts him right away. And it sure seemed like, was it Nussmeier threw that pass? That's a trust throw to put it up that high in that spot for Cyrus Allen and know that he's going to come down with it. And so I really like what I've seen out of this kid. It's going to be fun to see a fifth-round draft pick go out there and kind of take the league by storm. And people go, it's the next Puka Nacua. We'll hear that on opening day.
Oh, yeah. Next Nacua, next Diggs, right?
Right. Whoever a fifth-round wide receiver is, that's who they will compare Cyrus Allen to. They will actually do a montage on it on Monday Night Football when the season starts. Cyrus Allen's a guy that came out of nowhere, Chris. Yeah! Look out, Jim! He was drafted, blah, blah, fifth round. You know, some other good fifth-round draft picks, and then the two guys that we've just mentioned, they'll show highlights, and they'll say, maybe Cyrus Allen is the next guy to be the next fifth-round wide receiver. That's a guarantee on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I think this team destroys zone coverage.
I hope.
Yep, I think they're going to destroy zone coverage. We know what Rice does. Xavier Worthy is actually pretty solid at, like, sitting in a zone, knowing to come back to the ball. He's actually been good at that. That's one of the few things that I would actually point to Xavier Worthy, his strengths. And then, as you mentioned, Cyrus Allen, same thing. I think this team will kill zone. Can they beat man coverage? That's always the question.
I think...
Does man coverage get beat if you have a running game, though?
Starts to get easier.
Yeah,
yep, it does. Starts to get easier.
Exactly.
Yep, didn't have that.
Yep.
The text here is what had Mac talking earlier. It says from the 660, I believe this draft class will compete with how good the 22 draft class was.
Smash.
You there already?
I'm starting to get there. I got to wait a little while. But yeah, I mean, again, we haven't even talked about the number 6 overall pick. If he's good too,
yeah.
The guy they traded up for and didn't want anyone to know, hey, we're not going to bring him in person, we're going to Zoom. Like, they obviously have a lot of stock in Mansoor Delane. We haven't even seen him play. And we're talking about these other guys. I mean, shoot, neither of the first round pick. I mean, Peter Woods, zero pressures,
right.
Like, didn't really make a lot of noise, but R. Mason Thomas?
Yeah.
Dude.
Mason Thomas could be the best player from this draft.
Yes, exactly right. Emmett Johnson, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, there,
he could be the best player from this draft.
Garrett Nussmeier, seventh round pick. Yeah, no, it's awesome. No, yeah. I'm really, really, really high on this draft class right now.
Yeah, it's what I'm getting to is that,
I know these, that I'm
these,
high.
These guys are great. I mean, this is a draft class where you're not looking and going, one guy pans out of this. And you're looking at this entire draft class from the day it was picked to right now. 4 months later, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all going, damn, we're still as infatuated, I think, with this draft class as we were at that, you know, the last of April, beginning of May, when this whole thing came together. And that's kind of cool to see now through all the OTAs, through day 15 of training camp, through the first preseason game. And everybody is still really damn high on this draft class right now. And that's a great thing. And to your point, we haven't even seen the first round draft picks play yet.
I haven't seen either both of them. Yeah. I mean, Peter Woods did play, and I'm watching as we speak, NFL draft files posted every snap from Peter Woods that kind of circle him. So I'm getting to watch every snap. And again, like I said earlier, just feels like Chris Jones treatment. He's getting double teamed every time. A lot of these play action boots are to the opposite side of him. The runs to the opposite side. There are a couple plays where, I mean, I think Spags will be on him, as we've heard talk about pad level. His pad level's too high from my point of view. Obviously, Spags knows way more. I don't know anything, but I'm seeing this guy stand up maybe a little too much. But
and I think probably the ankle factors into that, too.
Oh, I would think so, you know? Too. Pushing off, trying to stay low, 100%.
I mean,
so,
being a 300-pound defensive tackle and having a bum ankle is a tough job.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that quite yet at all.
No, not at all. But that does factor in, I think, to his performance in that opener. I mean, he's out there playing with a busted wheel, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned Mason Thomas and comparing him to Tomba, Frank Clark. Those guys can get around the edge quickly. He may be even quicker because he's 25 pounds lighter.
That's a good point.
Those guys, 275 pounds. Yeah, he's going to have some serious bend. I'm so pumped on him. A guy I'm like, yes, sell. Buy everything.
What's a bigger need, Cyrus Allen or R. Mason Thomas?
R. Mason Thomas is, for me, it's not even close. I mean, if this guy is good and getting to the quarterback, the whole dynamic of getting off the field on third down, it's changed. It's absolutely, you have just eliminated your weakest trait from a season ago if R. Mason Thomas is this guy's, because he even impacted that one that should have been a touchdown pass.
Oh, and he was in his face.
Now, the defensive back did a nice job of breaking it up, but that quarterback threw the ball probably about a second sooner than he wanted to throw it because of R. Mason Thomas being there and being his face. Look, I think that's the guy that I'm going to circle right now as kind of the next legacy chief, right? We're exiting out of the Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce era, you know, as we all came in to start this thing. And we need that next wave to start picking it up, to be the faces of this next group of guys. And I think it could be. I think R. Mason Thomas could be that guy on the defense that is currently Chris Jones, you know, that guy that is the defensive leader, the defensive stalwart, and the guy that you're going to build your defense around for the next 10 years. Let's hope, like, if he has the career that Tomba had or Justin had, R. Mason Thomas is going to be a hero in this town. Because he'll be doing it on a team that's winning, too.
Wait, he's going to be a pass rusher, and his last name's Thomas, and he plays for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Ooh, right?
Weird. Yeah, right?
I know that I'm hard. Big time. Also, go back into Aaron Glenn talking about Breece Hall. Says it doesn't seem serious.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's, you know, positive, you know, pushing P there, but, you know, if it's Glenn saying that, then I don't know.
What would you say to your question that you asked, though, Dusty? That was a good one. I'm still thinking on that.
Cyrus Allen.
Yep, more of a need than R. Mason Thomas.
Because I trust the defensive line should still be able to do it. Now, again, I'm with Bob, and I'm with you, right? Like, I've been, you know, champing at the bit for somebody to be something of someone of a threat that can just get to a quarterback on third down. Someone that, you know, I think what Bob was trying to pretty much say is someone who could just pin their freaking ears back and go get the dude that has the ball.
Yeah,
we
haven't had that in a while. Yeah.
No. And the other flip side of it with Cyrus Allen is that I don't know if Mahomes has had a guy he can trust outside of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill in the last 6 years of this team. And if Cyrus Allen is that guy, like what that does for this offense, and I can explain. Cyrus Allen, 5'11", 201 pounds, right? But what he's going to do is run those underneaths. And when I say one catch in, you know, a vague way, that was an underneath catch. That was a soft zone coverage that he ran to a spot, knew where the spot was, turned around and was ready for the action, did not drop it. Caught the ball. Okay. Kudos of respect there for that. Not only that, we know what Xavier Worthy is going to be. I hate to be this guy and be negative. He's a deep threat. I don't think he's anything other than that. Due to the injuries that have piled up, he's a deep threat. Well, as I mentioned before, Cyrus Allen is going to run underneath. So now you can use Xavier Worthy 3 to 5 times a game as a dummy-o route. And if they buy it, then fine. You've taken somebody away from the middle of the field. You still have Rashee Rice, who's probably your number one read if you're Patrick Mahomes. And then you have Cyrus Allen 100% being a man coverage. So, by the way, if you want to think about how this offense could work, Xavier Worthy runs a deep route. If they don't respect it, then Mahomes fire that mother fricker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah, right over the top and go.
Let it go. Have that back. Yeah. But if they take that away, then you have Rashee Rice. Let's say they bracket Rashee Rice. They put two on him. If Cyrus Allen can be trusted, he's going to open up that bracketed defense and make you have to say, do we double team Rice or do we go one-on-one, one-on-one? And do we have to, you know, maybe let that deep route kind of not be as respected because we don't trust Mahomes still has it. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Good luck. And then, oh, by the way, the fourth guy that I haven't mentioned is the greatest tight end to ever play the game. Oh, my security blanket's the guy that I've had as a security blanket for my entire effing career. And Travis Kelce, what a perfect offense you could have if Cyrus Allen is that guy. That's why I lean towards 13 being a little bit more important right now than maybe R. Mason Thomas.
Yeah, and the reason I take R. Mason Thomas is because we got nobody like him. You know,
true.
There are other wide receivers. We do have Ken Walker. We could figure it out. But this defense last year, I'm still having, you know, PTSD from watching our defensive line and then seeing the other defensive lines in the NFL. It stunk last year. Back to the Cowboy game, back to the Bronco game, back to watching that Houston defensive line do their thing. And my whole thing this offseason was I got to have somebody that's on the defensive line that can get to the quarterback. Mahomes and Andy, they'll figure it out a way. Then they got Kenneth Walker, and you're like, okay, you feel pretty decent about the offense. I need somebody that can get to the quarterback, and they got that guy, man. I'm excited about this R. Mason Thomas.
And Mac, you're a big route runner guy. It looks like Cyrus Allen has got that more advanced than maybe somebody who would be a rookie in the NFL. Like it just looks clean, like he's done this before. Obviously, played football his whole life, but it looks like he had done that before. And again, I know this is against number twos, like McDuffie wasn't out there and Jalen Watson wasn't out there and all those guys normally will play for the secondary, but like that's not what I'm worried about right now. I'm worried about, can this guy go out there and run a crisp, nice, clean route and be dependable to catch the ball? Mm-hmm. And for me, I saw that right out of the chute.
100%. The release is great at this line of scrimmage. I mean, yeah, like what you're saying, the consistency we haven't had in the route runner. Hey, I know that 10-yard out is going to come out from 10 yards. I know he's going to come out flat from that route from the break. Mm-hmm. Things like that we see for Cyrus Allen immediately, whereas, again, he's the same age as Xavier Worthy. Maybe we see Xavier Worthy start to get some of that. I will say, I completely agree with the way you see the offense working. Deep threat, you got those other guys kind of working in the middle, and then Travis Kelce's there at the security blanket. I will say, we have not seen Xavier Worthy be the deep threat yet. We have not seen it work. The flashes that we have seen from Xavier are similar to things that we've seen from Cyrus Allen, not the jumping, but sitting in a zone, coming back to the ball. I'll always remember that Houston game from, I believe it was last year. Maybe it wasn't last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago now. Maybe it was his rookie season where he had like 8 or 9 catches and they were all for 8 to 15 yards, kind of coming back to the ball, being able to run hook routes, dig routes, things like that. So I think there's a chance. I think it's smaller than with Cyrus Allen already, which tells you something. But I think there is a chance Xavier Worthy becomes a well-rounded player for this team as well.
Well, and also, too, I think we've already started to see the Chad O'Shea impact on this team from 100%. A wide receiver standpoint, right? You saw stuff that was competent in your wide receivers. And I hate to be this guy, I really do, but it's for effect more than anything. Do we know if Cyrus Allen can make these plays if Chad O'Shea isn't here as the wide receiver coach? If they have, you know, Connor Embry still out here coaching a 22, 23-year-old rookie, or is he this good this soon because they made the right decision and hired Chad O'Shea? And that's where I'm going to go with that, because that was the biggest change that they made from an offensive standpoint, is that they got a coach to coach the wide receivers that's actually coached the wide receivers in the NFL. And so I think we're seeing these guys starting to play good, and I think a lot of the credit has to be given to Chad O'Shea and what he's been able to accomplish in a short period of time, because we're already seeing growth from these guys.
We'll get back to the other side of this whole show with the brioches of the weekend here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Alohi Gilman, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
Sonny makes a really good point. 3816, if Cyrus Allen is who we think he is, then I hope the Chiefs don't sniff a Tyreek Hill reunion.
That's a great
point. No, it's a great point. Well done. Yeah, that's true. There's no need, based on what I saw in the preseason game, to even consider Tyreek Hill anymore. Like, what are we doing here?
And maybe my lack of, you know, reporting here, I did forget about Tyquan Thornton, who is still on this roster, who can be the deep threat.
Yes. So, definitely trust there.
I don't think it's your lack of reporting. I think it's just your lack of he's a forgettable guy.
Yes. Because I know that he and Mahomes had that connection.
Yeah.
At least.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, no pun intended, he was trustworthy with that deep route from Patrick Mahomes last year, as we saw a couple of times. And then once Rashee Rice came back, it was like, what happened to Tyquan Thornton?
Harold Kuntz is reporting today that Delaney and Gelati are out with the ones to start the team, period.
Love okay, to good. See
well, that's good.
And then Matt Derrick, Jalen Moore at right guard, and Khalil Benson at right tackle.
So there you go. Now they're flip-flopping those two guys to see, you know, what's going on. Again, with the hip, you know, strain or whatever they're saying with Trey, 7 to 10 days, we're just at day 7. So, you know, hopefully it's a muscle thing and it's something that's, you know, not that big a deal. And it's not, you know, the last thing you want is all of a sudden you see a degenerative hip or something like that, right? That's one of the, that'll be terrible. That's career ending, you know, with something like that. So you hope it's nothing serious like that. But again, they don't appear to think it's something serious at this point in time. And so we'll continue to see how that progresses moving forward.
So Gelati over R. Mason Thomas? Though?
I don't, it doesn't matter, man. It just doesn't right now. They're just working guys in.
All right.
Damn. I just got hit in the feels. Polymarket Football just did the end scene of Remember the Titans when Gary passes away and they're all singing the hey, 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 goodbye, and then Hayden Panettiere's
in. Oh, no, geez.
For those of you that missed the news, Hayden Panettiere passed away at 36. Sad day.
Very sad.
She was the little girl. Remember the Titans also was in the show Nashville. But yeah, that is, oh, I'm getting choked up. Let's get to the brioche of the weekend.
We came in with it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I don't always do that.
I will say brioche of the weekend for me, which is presented by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. The last couple weeks, I've felt very loved from people that have given me the celebration tour of my birthday month, it would seem. Normally not that guy, but, you know, family issue, not issues, but scheduling conflicts. So got to go have dinner with my family this weekend, my stepdad, my sister. Of course, we had burgers with brioche buns, as they're all lovers of this show. That was Smash. Fun. Had the cake and everything. Saturday night, had the boys over for poker. It was good to get all my friends back together. It's like, as we're getting older, we're starting to realize we don't see each other as much. Multiple of my friends have, you know, children, if not one, more than one. They have 2 to 3 kids. So it was good to see them, friends, family. Sometimes you just got to turn the phone off, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the simple things in life. So brioche of the weekend for your boy. Was everybody involved with that, from family to friends to just everything in general. It was great. This whole month has been fun. It's been very nice to feel appreciated turning 39 one more year until I'm 40.
There you go. Yeah.
JT sent me a text last week, goes, hey man, he goes, he said, enjoy the last year of your 20s. I said, JT, I'm 39. He goes, oh shoot, I didn't know you were that old. Well, I was like, thanks, JT. Give me a pair of sex shoes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So,
Man, my brioche of the weekend goes to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. They had their induction yesterday, and it was awesome to see.
Hey, Dayton,
and,
baby.
Dayton and like 85 others, man. It was cool to see how many great Kansans there are out there that have had such an impact on sports in this area. Ray Bouchard, of course, from the KU volleyball team, started basically that program, got it a volleyball arena built at the University of Kansas when, you know, that stuff wasn't going on. Matt Beisler, of course, got in, and we know his career, how great he's been, you know, on the pitch, both for the United States and for Kansas City as well. Terry English, a coach, basketball coach at Bishop Miege, his career record was like 928 and 132. I mean, like insane career record, you know, for him and so many other people. Derek Jensen went in, a football player. John Boyd Martin, one of the greatest sports artists of all time from the state of Kansas, went in. Of course, Dayton went in, and so many other great people went in. Earl Watson, Larry Wilcox, the coach.
Watson! Yes!
Yes, Earl Watson was great. And then Larry Wilcox goes in, the coach at up at Benedictine. His career record is like 382 and 126 too. It's like these guys that done this stuff is so unbelievable. And then they also put in Cassie Waite Valentine. She was a volleyball player at the University of Kansas. So many great people went in to the Kansas Hall of Fame. The one name that I haven't mentioned yet was Cliff Illig, and he went into the Kansas Hall of Fame. And it was great to catch up with Cliff a little bit yesterday. And I think I'm right on saying this. He is the second most important sports figure in Kansas City sports history, next to Lamar Hunt. And after hearing the whole process of Lamar asking them to buy the team and why, and setting them up to build the stadium, and then Cliff talking about the World Cup and growing Kansas City, and it's always been what's best for Kansas City. In Cliff Illig's eyes, I am going to put him up there as the second most important sports figure in Kansas City history, behind Lamar Hunt, and yes, ahead of Ewing Kauffman, because Cliff Illig is doing things not just for sports in Kansas City, but he's doing things for Kansas City, and that to me is so special. So hat off to Cliff Illig, who went in yesterday. It was great to see him, and Zach Roberson, a wrestler, from Blue Valley Northwest, never lost a high school match, 159-0 or something like that in high school.
Went to Iowa State.
Yeah. And then and Tracy Rietzke was a coach as well, was inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. So great Kansans getting inducted yesterday. It was really fun. Jeff Bolig, Richard Konsum, shout out to you guys for doing such an unbelievable job of rebirthing this Kansas Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's cool.
That was
for
great.
Those people to get recognized and stuff like that. I love to
see all their families there. That was a big theme. Every single one of them was asked at the end. And I want to shout out my friend Nate Bucati. Did a great job emceeing yesterday, too. And these guys all talked about their families and how important they are. And we all know we're nowhere in life without a great supporting cast behind us.
100%. I mean, you always talk about your family group text, the things that matter, the ones that matter, right?
The only ones that matter. Yep. Yeah.
I went to John Mulaney last night at Starlight. It was awesome. Mike Birbiglia opened up. Very funny.
Who opened?
Very funny. Mike Birbiglia, who's one of my favorite comedians. I think his special is still on Netflix, and he's a big story comedian. He's just got an hour-long special on Netflix talking about basically like him meeting his wife and everything. He's great. I love his timing. John Mulaney's obviously hilarious now. Coming up on 6 years sober for him, so that's always great. Yeah, obviously mentioned that. Made fun of himself. Very self-deprecating.
You have to be.
You've got to be, especially when you've had the history in the past maybe that he's gone through, but... Yeah, dude, it was awesome. It was good to get some laughs. Went with some friends. Went with the wife. It was great.
Good. Yeah, comedians are fun, man.
Yeah, need to laugh.
And the best thing about comedians is that you know they're an hour.
Yeah, we know. Yep, in and out. Yep. Right.
Yeah, my wife took the girls to.
Did they take the cell phones?
Nope, not Starlight.
They did not. Okay, my wife took the girls to. Who did they see last night? All right, was it Ariana?
Megan Maroney.
Okay. Yeah, Megan Maroney last night. So they went to that. I don't know when they got home. I think around 11 or something.
I was snoring 3 hours before that, Daddy.
Long out before that happened.
We were watching Seattle and Houston on NBC.
Never heard of him.
I had it on for like 5 minutes. I don't.
You see all those coaches that might be getting fired in baseball?
Oh yeah,
Arizona.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly has to win it all just to keep his job.
He really wants that job.
So Cora's getting that job.
Yeah, Cora's already took that job, apparently.
Seattle's going to fire their coach.
Houston may get rid of everybody, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's going to be a lot of guys that lose jobs and a lot of turnover in Major League Baseball. But look, if you don't meet expectations, what do you expect? It's professional sports. And so that's what happens throughout all of this. Can I be honest? I don't really care for the NBC Sunday night broadcast on baseball. Have you guys watched it enough to even have a take?
Every Sunday.
What do you think?
I don't mind it. I like that it's on.
That it's on, yes.
I mean, I'm not like dissecting what they're saying, but like I enjoy that we have Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah, I just
because all the big shows are done, right? The big powerhouse is getting ready to start in 4 weeks. Because the NFL, like House of Dragons is done, all these other shows, Survivor starts on September 22nd. I can't wait for that. Survivor used to be on Thursday, moved to Wednesday. We know why.
Yeah.
Last time on Survivor. All right, never mind.
Yeah, we didn't survive. The NFL kicked our ass, so now we're on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going to move.
Yeah, so.
What?
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape. We're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, why would you put anything on Thursday night if you're... I mean, Thursday night, back in my day, it was must-see TV. And now it is must-see TV. It just happens to be the NFL.
Doesn't matter if it's Arizona versus the Saints. Everyone's watching.
Everyone's watching.
Mm-hmm. Because...
Yeah, I think Traders is staying on Thursdays. Their new season's coming out in September.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know why you're staying on Thursdays, but okay, I'll record it.
Especially knowing that you can record and they still are like, no.
Or just watch it streaming the next day at all.
Yeah, watch it on Peacock or something.
Yeah.
No doubt. That does wrap up a Monday edition. Don't forget Cody and Alex live in St. Joe. They'll have Nick Bolton after practice. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy.
and enjoy Cody, Alex, and Drew from 10 to 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Take care.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.